Good evening, or whatever time this may find you in. It's Christmas time, an endangered holiday, a time when meaning has gone missing because the meaning is at odds with those who wish to set it aside in favor of something more pedestrian, something more mercantile and safer for those threatened by ancient meaning. However, here, tonight, meaning still remains, and we'll seek to explore that for a short time. Jesus Christ was the avatar of the Western world, and Buddha served for the East. Some say that Jesus is the heart and Buddha is the mind. One could certainly say that Jesus Christ signified passion and Buddha dispassion. We don't know much about Jesus Christ the man. We know what the scriptures tell us. Once they were translated from their original language and after they'd passed through the hands of those seeking to manipulate the scriptures for general crowd control. I've come to talk about the positive side of it tonight. I just want to set the record straight before I do so. It's no secret that Christianity has been a scourge on the planet, or that it is the primary force being manipulated by the people seeking to destroy it, that is being used to support and promote the terrible wars of our time. It is tragically ironic that the Prince of Peace is being used as the god of war. That's not a new story. It happened all through the Crusades. It was onward Christian soldiers in the New World, and I don't know what they're singing these days, and I'll pick any time in history when it was around and there weren't a whole lot of good things happening. Except in the hearts of some people. I've always been fond of Jesus Christ. I tend to quote him more than anyone else. I think that is because most people who come around here consider themselves Christian, and, well, God is God with me. It doesn't matter what name or label you stick on it. Communication is the important thing, and as long as you have that, that's all that matters. If Allah, Krishna, or Jesus float your boat, that's just fine with me. There's a lot of talk these days that the man we call Jesus probably didn't exist. I'm pretty sure that he doesn't exist in the popularly assumed way any more than Santa Claus does. I do believe he did exist and does exist, though. I don't believe he was a Jew. I tend to believe he was a Syrian, and I believe he spent those missing 17, 18 years in India with the enlightened masters of the day. I believe he was an avatar, and Easter and Christmas have always been holidays that I've enjoyed because of a common spirit that's abroad at the time, despite the materialism and unfortunate excesses of drunkenness and gluttony that attended. I believe in the Essenes and the simple Christian communities of Mennonites and Amish folk, the I Am Society. Some of them have their problems these days, as many people do, with the shadow in full flower across the land. I believe in the message of love and forgiveness. I believe in the things that Jesus taught. I'm not so fond of some of the apostles. I'm no more fond of the way some Christians demean the divine feminine than I am with the Nazi goose-stepping of the politically correct, who want to reduce everything to a common denominator of false equality, so that those who perverted Christianity can also pollute and pervert the social structure under false pretenses where no equality occurs and the only real result is the superiority conferred upon those manipulating it. But you know all about that, or you should. With all the distortions in the Bible, it is interesting that the enemy of truth is that in that time is the same enemy we face today, the money changers and the synagogue of Satan. I love the message of Jesus Christ. I love his humility and all those things that he said that were so simple, so profound, so timeless. It is obvious that someone fitting that description walked on this sweet swinging sphere and labors today on the higher planes, drawing all humanity upward, those that will come. This is that time that was spoken of so long ago. This is that time of summing up, the quick and the dead and all that. This is the time that was spoken of and rumored for so long. We are here. The world is in darkness and the light is coming. You may give it whatever light will serve you best, whatever name will serve you best. It is all one light. I never fail to get that Christmassy feeling when the time comes around. I never worry much about presents and all that. This year I got a few things for everyone, and no one's getting me anything. I was asked if that was okay, though, and I said it was fine. People in my house don't have any real connection to Christmas. I'm guessing they had bad experiences, though I doubt they would rival mine. But it's the idea of giving that counts, not receiving. In this age of getting, it's the giving that should be the focus. I like the idea of carrying the spirit of the season in my heart because I know there are others out there that do. It's how I used to notice that Sundays always seemed to have more light in them than other days, and I always thought it was because a lot of people went to church and released something of their collective hopes and prayers into the air. I know there are people who look down on people who go to church and people who go to church that look down on people who don't. That's human nature. But I notice a change in the atmosphere on certain occasions, and I approve of it. On Christmas, or more precisely on the solstice, it's the birth of the light. That moves toward the death and the resurrection at the other end. It is that eternal tale of the great sacrifice of the divine and the great love of the divine for his creation. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ paid for the age in which we've lived and are living. His blood is the currency that bought the moment that composed our lives. His body is the food that sustained us. He's the living presence of the light that animates us, and for many it's cast aside like something of no value whatsoever. It takes a mystic to understand the meaning of the sacrifice. It's a love beyond comprehension, and to come into the possession of it is the greatest event that can ever occur in any life. That is what Christmas fills me with and thrills me with. For me, it's all real. Yes, it's analogy and allegory. It's a deep mystery that gets lost in the rush and in the pursuit of meaningless things. It's the everlasting and present promise that awaits those of singular courage and conviction, yet the masses hurry on unheeding. I know there are those out there who think Christmas is nothing. They've let it be hijacked out of their hearts because it got hijacked by the bad guys who sell people all that junk with Christmas as the excuse for Christmas, and whose own religion is atheism and the worship of the Lord of the material plane. I'm not so cynical. I like to think a great deal of my childhood remains, probably because I never had one. I don't want to become hard and cold like so many people have. I'd like to think that all the things I heard about Jesus Christ when I was a kid had something to do with it. I didn't know anything about the East then. I had a full-blown Kundalini experience with Eastern overtones and didn't even know what it was. It was later on when I finally saw a Buddha in an antique shop in Palm Springs that was holding his hands like the man who initiated the experience in me and caused my hands to be held the same way. Before all that, it was Jesus Christ, and that is why I believe he went to India and experienced all those necessary things for his time of prophecy and miracles. It all comes out of the East as far as I'm concerned, and everything I've seen since reflects only that. It's been a strange journey for me, and I don't understand a whole lot of it, but I expect that's about to change shortly. Things are coming to turn for all of us, each in our own way. For those seeking the darkness, they will find it. For those seeking light, they will find it too. Open your heart and mind to the wonders of the season. Please, there are miracles afoot if you can see them. Angels are afoot in these times because the hearts of many are calling out and heaven responds in kind. This is what happens when so many of us join in a collective union of feeling and aspiration. It is true that far too many are caught up in selfish pursuits and indifference, but it doesn't have to be for you. It's true that I don't have much enthusiasm for religion, but it's the spirit of the thing that attracts and intrigues me, and I have no desire to rain on the beliefs of another, and I hope that's true of all of us, especially in this Christmas season that may well be the last that some number of us will ever see. I hope this missive finds you well and in good spirits, and that the spirit of the season may speak to your heart in these coming days. That said, I'll see you next time I see you, if there is one. Adonai, aloha, and so on and so forth. God bless you all.
There must be over 50,000 screaming love and more for you. Every one of 50,000 would do whatever you asked him to. Keep them yelling their devotion, but add a touch of hate at Rome. You will rise to a greater. The Romans, nor the Jews,
nor Judas, nor the 12, nor the priests, nor the scribes, nor doomed Jerusalem itself.